Welcome to Tracks Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. Well, this is season 2, episode 10 of our Tracks Cultures podcast with the Damons. And I'm so glad to be able to sit down and record with Joel and Kate again. Joel and Kate, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having us. Next time you'll see us, it'll be in Berlin.
I know, that's crazy. So that's like maybe a really important part of setting the context for this podcast. We are, Mike and Alyssa Piccinato are 1 week from flying back to Berlin, and Joel and Kate Damon are 3 weeks from flying to Berlin.
I believe 18 days, actually.
Wow.
You just said, like, everything was good, and then you said 3 weeks, and now I have my throat started shivering.
Yeah, so we had a nice plan on how we were going to cover some material from the book in this episode, but sometimes life conspires against us just in the place we are, trying to get all of our I's dotted and T's crossed before we fly. And so we decided, let's do an update instead and kind of let people know just where you guys are at in the process.
That sounds great. That's a good because idea. Everything is crazy. Every time someone asks me how I'm doing, I'm like, oh, crazy. How are you? It's like, I don't know what else to say anymore.
Yeah. Well, there just process-wise, there have been some big updates that I think can be so relieving for people who are getting ready to go. Things like you have an apartment in Berlin now.
Woo! That is such a huge answer to prayers. Like, people here have been praying for us for months that we would have an apartment to land in. And thank you to Stephen Jones and you, Mike, for getting that all figured out. And we've got an apartment.
Yeah. We did not. When we flew to Berlin, we did not.
No, and our friends the Hastings didn't have a spot either. They had to put in dozens of applications. We've spent a lot of time reflecting on or comparing those experiences between other people we know that have had to go do this in the past. You guys, the Piccinatos included, and feeling very, very thankful, very blessed for the ease of that part.
Yeah, and it was just amazing how it worked out. I'm still... I haven't been in the apartment. We don't have the keys in our hands yet because we haven't been able to touch base with him from a distance to actually go and pick them up. So there's still a part of me that's like, okay, but we're also just excited that we've got a document signed. And so I think from that point of view, super exciting.
That's good.
People always say everything that can go wrong will go wrong before you head out. Like, things have been happening where it's just like, it was all perfect plan and then it fell through. But then, like, God has swooped in every time and I have not been panicking. Yeah, I haven't been, like, he's always like, I have a different plan. That was a great one. This is better. And so, it's been actually a pretty good experience the last few months.
You guys have gone through so much stuff in your house. How has that process been?
So Goodwill. I'm very grateful that there's a different person that accepts donations every day because I stop by with like loads of things and I'm like, I found out how wasteful I am as I'm dumping bucket after bucket of clothing and all the kitchen gadgets and weird things. And yeah, but that I could have left a lot of it because our renter fell through and that's why I was getting rid of all this stuff. And then our niece and her soon-to-be husband, they're getting married very quickly so we can see their wedding.
So we can be at the wedding, yeah.
Yeah, shout out John and Gracie. They're getting married on the 6th or 7th. And
6th.
Yeah, so they're going to rent our house now. So I didn't need to get rid of all that stuff because they would have used it. But oh well.
And you have also been able to start visiting some churches, which has been really cool. A partner church in Milwaukee you were able to go see, and then some friends of ours, the pastor who was pastoring the church that we had pastored, who's now in Wyoming, you got to spend some time with them. Tell me about that.
Oh, we'll start with Milwaukee because that was first. And that was That was great. They had the storm of the century while we were there, though, like massive flooding. And so we didn't get to meet as many of the people at the church, but what a lovely group of people. Like that was fun. And then that group got to go on a trip to Envision Berlin last week.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, just wrap that up.
And then we went to Cheyenne, to Crossbridge Alliance in Cheyenne. Like, what a beautiful group. They're like the most lovely people, lovely humans ever. And Zach and Haley are such big fans of yours.
Yeah, we did not want to leave. Man, that was like, you could have asked us to just stay in Cheyenne and we would have been like, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so good. We got to give the message on Sunday and just like really introduce ourselves to the congregation. And what a beautiful, wonderful, sweet congregation. And Zach and Haley and their elder team are doing amazing things in Cheyenne. And they have been having community picnics. Yep. And now the community is coming in, not just the churchgoers. And so like they're just awesome.
That's beautiful. And you painted a mural on the front of their church.
Yeah, that was how we sort of started the conversation. Zach reached out. When it was council? That was May, right? So in May we had just started talking about this, and then he reached out via text to see if this was actually something that we could pull off. And so I sent him some designs that were possible to complete in 1 week, and he and the elder board went through and they picked one, and we got all our ducks in a row, and it worked out just perfectly. We drove out Thursday, we started tracing that night and started painting the next day right around lunch, and it was great. It was a cool challenge too, because it was an exercise introducing a broad approach to the visual arts or the arts in general to that church congregation, but also it was a chance to show how that sort of expanded thinking about our visual expressions of our faith can be put to use, where like the city of Cheyenne said, like, yeah, you can do a mural, but no, you know, overt religious imagery, you know, no church logos.
You can put the name of the church on it. Yeah.
Yeah, no words, like, right, so no, like, snippets of Bible verses or anything like that, and I get it, I really do. They wanted something that was going to be, at least on the surface, you know, a little bit less pointed directly at one thing, even though that's the purpose of that building. But I like that approach, and it was a good challenge. And so the design that we came up with, or that I came up with, was, yeah, just based off of, like, this idea of a singular source radiating out to all of us, this point of light, this gift that's been given to each of us, and how it expresses itself differently and also manifests itself differently in each of us too, and representing the person or the church in the shape of a house. It's a real simple geometric image, but we can put some images up on with the podcast, but yeah, just a real simple it's sort of illusion house shape that makes it look like there's a little bit of a recess in the front of a church, and then some fun light and shadow stuff that we messed around with. But and shout out to Joe Cutler, our boy from City Light Midtown. He was with me on that very first Berlin trip. We painted a mural with light rays emitting out of a bird in Berlin, and then we went and he showed up in Cheyenne, and we painted a mural with Kate of light rays emitting out of the steeple of a church. So it's a cool sort of continuation of visual themes and teams when working on this. So that was really special from my heart.
It was so fun to see pictures of him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool to be working with him again. So
it was great. Joe and Joel did all the sharp lines, and I just had a roller in the middle, so I couldn't mess anything up. And I still did. But it was only on spots that I could paint over, and so it was fine.
Kate, by the end of it, though, Kate was doing some real sharp lines.
What are some things you guys are just 18 days away, I think Kate said, from flying? what are some of the things that you guys are really excited about?
We were talking. I got a real simple one. Every morning we sit out on the front porch with our dogs and we have a coffee. And we were talking about the balconies at the apartment and how we'll be able to just open up those doors when the weather's good and sit out there. And we were just looking forward to making a new home, I think.
How weird was it for you to sign a rental contract that you didn't understand at all?
Oh, my gosh. That was liberating. That was weird.
It's strange.
Oh, liberating. I wouldn't have said that.
but I think so, because it's like I have no control. I have to trust Mike. I have to trust this man in Germany that I don't know. I'm trusting these folks. Yeah. So it did feel a little bit liberating, where it's like, okay, yeah, let's go.
No, I want to know every detail, and I can't. I don't know every detail. I don't know how big the second bedroom is. I would love to know that. And nope. Yeah, we'll see.
Sign away.
Sign away. I signed it. And it's going to be great. So I'm excited for new routines. And also, I just feel excited for, that sounds very counter of what I just said, but I am excited about the unknown of, like, I had to, like, really Google search, like, our neighborhood that we're in, like, what technically is the neighborhood we're in? And then, like, doing all that. And I'm kind of excited to go to language school. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for grocery shopping, and it's just like everything that God's done in this last year, especially last 6 months, especially, I am excited to see what that is going to blossom into. And I'm excited for community, like really close community with Christian coworkers. And I'm excited for Joel to have Christian dudes around a lot more. Yeah. There's so much to be excited for. And right now it feels very honeymoon-ish, like, oh, we're moving to Europe. We're going to do this and that. And that's true. And it's like, there's just a lot of other things that I just don't know. And so that doesn't feel great, but I am excited to not be in charge for a while.
As you look ahead to the next 2 weeks plus, what are some of the things that need to get done that feel intimidating to you?
Getting the dogs used to their kennels. Yeah, that's probably the most, they're old and they don't ever go in kennels now, but they're going to have to for a very bad day. Yeah, that just feels stressful. And then I feel like I'm missing something. Like, there's got to be something on the checklist that I have missed. And, like, what if I get there and it's like, this isn't done? And it's the what ifs I'm very intimidated by.
Mm-hmm.
Anything for you, Joel?
I mean, getting the dogs ready for sure. Nothing else that feels, I mean, there's a lot left to do still. Now that I'm not working, boy, all of it feels so much more doable when I'm not, you know, coming home, you know, and trying to do this stuff after being at the jail for, you know, the whole day.
Well, you are working now, right? I mean, you're working for the Alliance as an international worker who's preparing to go.
I got to say this a lot when we were in Cheyenne, and I think in Milwaukee too, like, I've spent so many years working jobs to make enough money so that I could pay the bills and just do the work that Jesus wants me to do, right? So, like, I'll go and spend 8 hours making sure that the shareholders get their profits, great. But I'm going to take some of the money that you pay me, and I'm going to go try to make the world better with that. And now that's just my job. And yeah, again, like, the capacity, like the amount of energy that I saw that I was willing to give both to a regular job and then also Jesus on top of that. I'm excited to take all of that and send it in one direction.
Yeah, it's cool.
After doing the mural in Cheyenne, I now like realize how like physically taxing that is, and Joel's been doing that for almost for a year and a half. And so I was like, okay, it makes a lot more sense why you came home and you were just like done. And then you not only had that, you had
why I developed an affinity for bubble baths.
Yes, and it's just like you're doing the hard work of working with people that are incarcerated, and then also paint, like, physically taxing, painting the murals on ladders, and I was like, this explains a lot.
Yeah, painting murals is hard. It's fun work, but boy, it is physically taxing in weird ways. And so, yeah, that was nice. That was nice to get a little bit of sympathy.
Are there any things that you're nervous about in the coming 2.5 weeks?
The change, just like, there's this these things keep happening where all of a sudden my memory just gets flooded with the you're moving across the world in a few weeks, and just that alone, like, just everything feels terrifying and really overwhelming in a lot of ways. But it's never nervous about something specific. I think it's just like this anxiousness over the bigness of this change that I don't know how you could ever get actually ready for it, and aside from just going and doing it. And this is just like that reminder that I'm still not prepared.
Sure. I want to have a little bit more time with everybody that I love, and that's just not going to happen. We had our big going away party on Saturday night, and that was so great. It was just, we felt so loved. But then it was like, well, I want to see you one more time. But then I ended up like thinking that with so many people and saying it to too many people where it's like, oh yeah, no, this is it. I'm actually not going to see you again after this for a while. And yeah, so it's just like trying to get in another quality goodbye, because I've gotten in all my good quality goodbyes and I just want one more.
Yeah.
One big thing we celebrated on our way to Cheyenne was our 21st wedding anniversary. We got married at 21, so we've been married for half of our lives. And so
half as long as, we've been alive.
That's kind of a fun anniversary.
After this point now, every year we've been together for over half our lives now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. In the coming 2.5 weeks, are there any requirements that you have to knock off before you can go still?
We need to get past level 5 in our SLA.
We're not talking. That's a different conversation. I need to get in. I need to like do a few more things, like fill out our will. Like that is like, I know it's weird because we don't have kids, so we just never really got around to it. And now it's like, oh yeah, we do need to have that. But other than that, I think like we've got our bank accounts, we've got our permanent address, we've got this and that. And so like, we're pretty set. Now it's just getting the house ready for our niece and her soon to be husband to rent. And oh, like packing. I've been trying on all the clothes that I want to bring to see if I actually like them. And then I'm going to vacuum seal them and put them away. And so we have to pack a little more. Joel needs to finish the art crate. But other than that, like, I feel like we're in a good spot.
Nice. We're in that packing stage ourselves. And so sent a couple suitcases back with our boys when they left. We all vacationed together and sent them with 2 suitcases back. And then Patagonia has a big sale. So like, pro tip, duffel bags are really light.
Oh.
And if you're just packing clothes, like a duffel bag takes up almost no weight. So just bought a big black hole duffel bag from Patagonia because I'm all bougie now. And
you said Patagonia. I was like, geez, dude. I don't know if I could.
Excuse you. You have a Patagonia backpack. That's your one bag you use.
No, I don't.
Go grab it.
He's afraid he's going to lose his street cred.
Yeah, he's going to.
Osprey.
Same difference.
No, Osprey is nice too, because they also have lifetime warranty. We bought some cheap duffel bags before we left. It's not like you use them very often, but they're all in Berlin. And so I'm like, well, that doesn't do me any good.
And they would, well, they'll also compact, whereas like a giant suitcase will not.
Right. The duffel bag, you just fold up and throw in a corner when you're done with it. I mean, put it back in a little carry bag or something.
That's a really good pro tip. Okay.
Are you going back to Berlin with more than you brought back from Berlin? Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. And some of that is, a lot of it has been books. You can get English books in Germany, but sometimes it takes a long time and it's really hard to get used English books. So like, we've been to Half Price Books a lot and have just bought books that will end up just materials that we want to add to the library at Envision Berlin, just to kind of round out some of the things that we want people to be able to grow in, spiritual areas we want them to grow in, areas of diversity. We just want to expand what people are able to connect with. And they're heavy. Books are just heavy. It's like carrying compact trees. Yeah. And so that ends up taking up a lot of weight. And then every once in a while you'll run into things like I bought a hand espresso press. I don't want to rebuy it. So I'll just bring that with me when we go back, but that takes up space as well. So there's just things like that.
We had a really good meeting with the, she does member care. She is in Southern Germany right now. Anyway, she said to bring from the States anything that you really love that you're not sure you can get over there, just in case. And so we went to Costco and got Sensodyne toothpaste and certain deodorant we like. And then it's like, I really love Jif peanut butter and I probably can't get it there. And so I'm going to bring a big container of that sort of thing. So we've been thinking of those, like, I really love this. And so I want to have it with me so I can be comforted for the first like few months until I figure it out.
Everybody handles that a little differently when you're thinking about, well, what do I want to bring with me? And some things like Sensodyne toothpaste, we were in the supermarket. One of my sons forgot to bring his toothpaste. We had to go and pick some up for him. And he's like, oh, that's so much cheaper in Germany. But flavors are different. So like buy your favorite flavor of toothpaste because it won't be as minty in Germany.
Funny.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay. I will pack my, peanut butter and...
You can get peanut butter in Germany, but it's not as good as Jif peanut butter.
No. I want it to be unhealthy Jif peanut butter. Yeah,
somebody said it's more... It's way more like natural feeling.
Yeah, and it's more expensive. Peanut butter is cheaper in the U.S., as expensive as it can be. It's definitely cheaper, especially if you're buying it at Costco sizes.
I know, yeah. I need one giant thing of Jif. I can sit there with my spoon and eat it while I'm sad. Because I can't find anything else in the grocery store, and I don't know how to read it.
Like, at the 2.5 week mark before you guys go, for people who are coming down the road and they're getting ready to go, are there any things that you've noticed in the last several weeks that have been really helpful for you in preparing to come that you would say, oh, definitely do that? Or are there any things that you would say, okay, this is what people are going to say and it's going to irritate you? Or what advice would you give to other people getting ready to go?
I'll go first. I would say the thing that people have asked us that, like what's something that you didn't think about? And the way that other people need to say goodbye is interesting. And something I didn't really think about. And it is something to prepare for, right? Like to expect people to not be excited that you're leaving. And not in like a negative way, but you know, my mom is having a really difficult time with the idea of us leaving and just being so far away. It's making her sad. And part of me is starting to get like, there's like an impatience, like just like, man, get over it in a way. But it's just, she's having a really hard time. And there needs to be some grace for that. Like, for just all the different reactions that are going to come up when you drop this on everybody. You should expect it. And I don't know why I didn't, but.
Yes, I would say that's the biggest thing is we have to carry everybody else's grief as well as our own. And that's really, really, really heavy. It's like family's grief, friends, and they put it on you because it is my fault that they feel they're grieving. And so it's, but it's really heavy to carry when I also have my own and I'm also going to miss them and I'm also changing everything I'm doing. And so that's really hard, but I also want to give people grace, like Joel's mom, like I want to give her grace and let her grieve and space to grieve, but oh man, it's heavy to carry. I was talking to a woman in our church that's going to Manchester soon and just talking about those things of like, give yourself like space to be calm and quiet. Give yourself space to enjoy the things that you enjoy here still, but also stay on task and get stuff done. Like have a plan, have a partner who's encouraging you to walk with you.
Listen to transitions across cultures.
Yeah, for real. Like there's resources. Yeah, there's resources out there written by people that have done this before, right? And then also, like, we were encouraged to ask people for prayer. I know there's no way for me to prove that, but we asked a lot of people to pray for us, and we have felt an unusual amount of ease in our hearts, especially over the last couple months, as things are only getting more intense, as we should be experiencing more stress and more anxiety and more even just, friction between Kate and I. And we find ourselves just drawn closer and closer to each other and calm and comfortable about what's happening. And so I would add on just like, man, encourage, beg other people to pray for you.
Tell them their prayers have been answered. That helps too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, those are really great things for people to hear. And I think part of that, Kate, as you were saying, that carrying other people's grief is also understanding, and I know you guys do that, you need to have people that can carry your grief too.
Yes. Yes. We were very encouraged to hold on to our prayer, like our people here and like the people that we tell, like that we confess our sins to and all that stuff. Those people, like keep in contact with them over the next few months. Like closely just for transition wise, because we'll need it. And Yeah, like Joel said, like begging people for prayer, that has been, I don't know the right word for it. It's been amazing and life-changing, I guess. Mm. Like the peace that has come along with it, and we don't feel as manic as we should, probably. As normal, as like what would be normal for the situation. And it's just like the peace that has come from the prayer of our people has been so amazing.
Yeah. And along the way, you find people who fall in love with the ministry and also become supporters, in prayer and then also financially. And you guys you've hit all your fundraising targets. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
that's like an amazing thing before you guys launch too.
Joel and I have been noticing that a lot of this, like, ours isn't just, show up at Cheyenne, but, like, some of the stuff we said, there was a man we met when he was listening to Joel, and he showed up later and talked about how he's trying to reconcile with his daughter now, because maybe his daughter isn't completely wrong with her different opinion. And it was, like, this sweet moment of, like, he really wanted to, like, reconcile with his daughter because of something Joel said, and it was just, like, God's doing really good things that have nothing to do with Berlin. And so that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what that was, but there's these moments that keep happening where we're maybe getting glimpses of how we're being used in other people's lives. Yeah. That guy, it sounds like from his description, it sounds like he and his daughter had a really bad falling out over a political difference. That's so unfortunate, and it was cool to hear that whatever I said, that he felt like maybe he could talk to his kid too about those things. Yeah, it's like you get to see, maybe, I mean, like, yeah, I'm good at talking with artists and I'm this and that. Somebody in Cheyenne called us disarming, and I get it, you know. I think, like, yeah, we get to kind of present things in a new light, maybe, or show a slightly different perspective of the same thing. But yeah, it was cool. That was a cool experience. And yeah, just getting to see how God prompts people to be generous in different ways, from like all the way from like handing us a free sandwich, or offering us a place to sleep, or handing us like cash. It's crazy. That's the way the church should be operating. That was cool to be a part of it.
And I think what you'll find is that God is calling you deeper into ministry. Berlin is just a piece of that. I mean, Berlin is a location, but the way you've already been ministering and the way you've already been communicating with people, God's just going to use that in a new location. And so you could say, well, yeah, it has nothing to do with Berlin, but it never really has had anything to do with Berlin. It's all about Jesus, and it's about you guys shining him well and having maybe a location to do it in where that's not as common. And I think we're finding all over that's not as common.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you for the time you spent.
Thanks for switching around the topic.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
And the next time we record, it will be all of us in a room sitting at microphones together. And if there's still a delay, then it's completely internal for Joel.
What if that's how I talk? I just need 4 extra seconds.
Bless you guys as you pack and as you get ready. And we'll see you in Berlin.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Tschüssi.
Thank you for joining us today on Tracks Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.